The rule of law was very important to the founders of America. In fact, because he was committed to the rule of law, Founding Father John Adams took the unpopular stance in 1770 to defend some British soldiers who were involved in the Boston Massacre. At that trial, he famously said, "Facts are stubborn things." But ever since the Supreme Court leak in early May of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade, we've seen a wholesale breakdown of the rule of law in America on the part of the left. Abortion rights are so sacred, they reason, that even brute force is okay to resort to in order to maintain them. Laura Hollis is a syndicated columnist and also a professor at Notre Dame Business School, but the opinions she expresses are her own. She wrote recently about the incredible attacks against pro-life centers recently, including churches, in the wake of the Dobbs decision. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Laura Hollis, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what prompted you to write that particular column about the attacks on the pro-lifers?
Well, it isn't exactly news that the, you know, pro-abortion, abortion lobby isn't happy about the existence of crisis pregnancy centers, many, although not all of which are, you know, run by Christian volunteers. But I feel like the level of intensity was really ratcheted up after the leak of what ultimately became the Dobbs decision and after the Dobbs decision was handed down. And I was shocked at not only at the level of vitriol by very prominent people, including, you know, Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, but the fact that there were literally dozens of attacks on pregnancy centers and the Department of Justice, the FBI, you know, nobody really seemed to be all that concerned about it, including the same people that seemed to be very concerned when parents were showing up at school board meetings last year and getting irate about pornography in the library or critical race theory in the curriculum.
It seems like there really are two standards of justice in America right now. You know, if you're politically correct, then the Justice Department's on your side. But if you're not, then good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's worth mentioning because I don't think a lot of people know the history behind some of the leadership in this country at present. So this column is one of a number that I've written on, you know, efforts that pro-life pregnancy centers have faced. There was a case that maybe some of your listeners are familiar with. So NIFLA versus Becerra. So this is the National Institute of Family Life Advocates, a group out of California that sued the state of California when it passed the Reproductive Fact Act in 2018. This was called the Reproductive Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency Act. So a group of pro-life organizations sued because this law required pro-life pregnancy centers to actually advertise for and promote abortion services. They were required to put something on their door that said no abortions are provided here. In some circumstances, if they didn't have medical personnel on staff, some do, they would have to put a sign that says no medical personnel on staff. The whole point is to keep women from even going into these centers. And, you know, the reason for that is because they have an extraordinary success rate in helping women with crisis pregnancies carry their children to term, the pregnancies to term. So California passes this law, and it's important to note that Kamala Harris, our current vice president, was actually attorney general of the state of California when this law was drafted and passed, and she takes a lot of responsibility for that. When she was elected to the United States Senate, then Javier Becerra was named attorney general. So it's NIFLA versus Becerra because he was defending the law on behalf of the state of California. This went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court struck it down saying, look, you're requiring people to give a message that's antithetical to their reason for being. You know, they're there to offer a choice, an alternative to abortion, and the, you know, California's government was compelling them to essentially advertise for abortion services. And the fines were oppressive. It was like $1,000 per day per incident if you didn't do it. So now we have someone who was instrumental in the drafting of that very law that was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court as vice president, and Javier Becerra, who was the attorney general after Kamala Harris was elected to the U.S. Senate, he's now the Secretary of Health and Human Services. So from the top down, we have, you know, very high-level people, including the, you know, Joe Biden, the president, but who's very, very hostile. So I think the message to anyone, you know, people like Antifa, Jane's Revenge, some of these other organizations that are attacking pro-life pregnancy centers, the message is, hey, we're on your side. We're not going to stop you. We're not going to penalize you. You know, you can do what you want with impunity. Elizabeth Warren was even, you know, quoted as saying, you know, we have to shut every single one of these down across the whole country. I mean, what kind of a person wants to shut down every single pro-life pregnancy center, something that offers alternatives to women facing crisis pregnancies?
Elizabeth Warren, that's the type of person. You know, by the way, going back to that California law that you mentioned, we actually did a story on that for D. James Kennedy Ministries. And I remember one of the experts that we talked with said, can you imagine if, let's say, in every place where there was an AA meeting, the state of California required that they post a large number, you know, phone number, and saying, if you want to know where to get the local bar, or, you know, here's where alcohol is available to you, here's the phone number, etc. In other words, it was very much undermining, as you say, the core mission of those crisis pregnancy centers. It's amazing.
And, you know, that's an excellent comparison, not only because the sensitivity of the subject matter, but because the people that are in AA meetings already know where the alcohol is and where to find the bars. And in Clarence Thomas's, Justice Thomas wrote the opinion in the Becerra case, you know, he made the same observation. He said it's very easy for people to find out where it's possible to get abortions. And in any event, if the state wants to advertise that, they can take billboards, et cetera. What they can't do is compel people who are trying to offer an alternative to abortion to mandate that they actually advertise or promote those services. No can do.
It seems that the word pro-choice, which was always a bit of a, you know, oversell and really not accurate, but it seems as if they're basically saying, okay, there's only one choice, and that's the choice of abortion. If these crisis pregnancy centers interfere, then we must shut them down. They do harm. And that was the actual word. Harm is what they do, according to, as you mentioned earlier, Liz Warren.
Yeah, she called it torture, which is absurd. But, you know, if you look at the data, when I was writing the piece about the Reproductive Fact Act a few years ago, one of the data points that struck me was that they said there were three times as many crisis pregnancy centers as abortion clinics in the state of California and throughout the country. And Elizabeth Warren kind of cites that same number. It's like 2,700 crisis pregnancy centers versus, you know, one-third that number. Well, I think that tells you plenty. And if you talk to, you know, obstetricians, you don't find a lot of doctors that want to perform abortions. And so you get these horrific stories like, you know, George Klopfer here in my own city of South Bend, who died a few years ago, and they have this horrific finding of 2,200 jars of fetal remains found in his home in Illinois. He would travel here from Illinois. Or Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, his abortion clinic was a house of horrors. You know, so you look at it and you think, okay, it's difficult to find private practitioners that want to perform this, but you have lots and lots, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who are willing to volunteer their time to help out with these crisis pregnancy centers. So, you know, there's a lot more interest in helping women with these pregnancies to have their babies than there is interest in, you know, aborting them. And so what they're trying to do is make it, you know, they're trying to drive up demand by saying we're going to make it difficult for people to have access to these other options, to these other choices. And they're pursuing a lot of other things too. So, you know, for example, they're trying to pressure the American Medical Association to require medical schools to, you know, mandate that all medical students have to perform abortions in medical school, because, you know, we need to make more people who are willing to do it have to do it as part of their medical school education. So, it's never really about choice. It's always about force.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody, I forgot who it was, but somebody on the pro-life side, and they were saying that only about 7% of the doctors are willing to do abortions, which says a lot. And you mentioned Gosnell. They made a movie on that. I don't know if you've ever gotten to see it. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think Dean Cain was one of the producers on that. I have not seen it, but I'm certainly familiar with it.
You must see it. I saw it twice in the theater, and then my son actually acted in a movie recently with Dean Cain, and I said, you've got to see this so you see who you're going to be acting with. And we all watched it, and it was just, it's a jaw-dropping movie. It's really powerful. It's as good as, you know, any of those CSI stuff and so forth, Law and Order. But it's really well done and makes a very strong pro-life point. Now, how important is the rule of law? And is it fair that, in effect, if you're pro-life, the Justice Department is going to deprive you, essentially, of justice by their inactions, if nothing else?
No, I mean, of course not. It's absurd that you've got organizations that have been firebombed, that have been vandalized, they're throwing bricks and rocks through windows, or they're distributing, you know, not shrapnel, but essentially, you know, nails and things like that. And, you know, there's an organization that's actually got a map, and it's charting every single one of these, and it's literally dozens. The last time I checked, it was almost 60 across the country, literally just within the last few months, so just since the leak of the Dobbs opinion a few months ago. And it's unclear whether or not anything is going to be done about any of them, even when some of the people that are part of Jane's Revenge and some of these other, you know, anti-life organizations are getting on websites and posting threats like, we're going to keep doing this. If abortion isn't safe, you won't be either. Our next thing, we won't be limited to just vandalism or just firebombing. Well, what is it exactly that they're threatening they're going to do? The FBI should be all over this.
Boy, you're so right. How about a comment on the hounding down of the Supreme Court justices, even in their homes, if they're conservative and they were in favor of voting for pro-life, not anti-life?
Well, so a couple of things, you know, both of which are legal points that I think people need to be aware of. First of all, people say, well, I thought protests were legal. Well, okay, protests, yes, generally are legal, but not on private property. And it's a violation of federal law if the protest is intended to threaten or intimidate a judge or a justice in the efforts to affect the outcome of a case. That's a violation of federal law and probably state law in many states. So this whole notion about, oh, that kind of protesting is should be protected. No, it's not. And, you know, the guy that was going after Justice Kavanaugh, it turns out, had a list of, you know, there were other people that he wanted to go after. And the second legal point is that now there's efforts. I just read that Rhodes College, which is where Amy Coney Barrett, Justice Barrett, went to college. There's a group of alumni that want her removed from the Rhodes College Hall of Fame because they're saying, oh, she lied in her confirmation hearings. That's nonsense. You know, the question that a lot of times these candidates are asked is, you know, do you think that something is settled law? Well, that's a factual question. It's been the law for a long time. It's settled law until it isn't. That's not the same thing as asking, would you vote to overturn it? And no judicial candidate is going to say what they would or wouldn't do because you don't know what cases are going to come before you. You can't say, well, this is the way I'll decide a case. So saying that you understand that a case is settled law doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way. I mean, Plessy versus Ferguson was settled law, Lawrence versus Texas, and Dred Scott, this was all settled law until such time as it was overturned.
Now, do you think, and you know, you can't predict the future necessarily, but do you think this is basically a temporary blip? Essentially, the left is throwing a hissy fit. They're throwing a temper tantrum, but then it'll all settle down. And in the meantime, we'll have the effects of the Dobbs decision. We have about 30 seconds left. Creators.com, Laura Hollis. Go ahead.
I think that it's not going to provide the big turnout that Democrats think it's going to do for the November elections. It's way down on most people's list of importance, probably just above climate change. I do think that, you know, there's going to need to be efforts in whether red state or blue state to make sure, you know, people need to get out and help women that are in these crisis situations. That's what needs to happen next. Is the left going to drop it? No, because everything for the left is about sex and sexuality, and abortion is the pressure relief valve for them.
All right. Laura Hollis, thanks so much for being with us. All the best, and we'll link to your column on this post. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jerry.